It's pushing 100 degrees, and I'm waiting on a corner in downtown St. Louis to be picked up by the man who's perhaps most intimately familiar with the after effects of the city's housing crisis. This man's name is Roland Comfort, and he's the building demolition supervisor for the city of St. Louis.
How you doing?
Hi, Roland. Sorry I'm late.
Okay, you're not late by much.
From here, we head northwest. The windows rolled down because there's no air conditioning. 10 minutes later, Comfort pulls up to a two-story brick house on Labadie Avenue. The front porch has fallen off, the brick parapet is crumbling, and a sidewall has started to lean. And this, he says, is actually not that bad.
Look around. You could almost close your eyes and you could take down almost any building you see on some streets.
St. Louis currently holds some 10,000 abandoned properties. And when you factor in all those that are technically still under private ownership, Comfort estimates that as many as one-third of the homes in North St. Louis are empty. And the idea that developers might take a stab at rehabbing those houses just isn't realistic for most cases.
In a day where the actual cost of rehabbing is anywhere from $250,000 to $500,000, it doesn't make a lot of sense on a street where the average sales price of occupied buildings are probably less than $40,000.
Comfort says he only takes down structures that pose a threat to public safety. But others claim the city is too quick to knock buildings down. Michael Allen is the director of the St. Louis-based Preservation Research Office. He claims as many as half the buildings demolished in St. Louis were actually sound under the city's building code.
The difference between a fragile neighborhood that can be brought back and a neighborhood that is going to be so diminished that no developer in their right mind would be able to take it on.
Allen says financing for large-scale development projects isn't as available as it once was, and knocking down existing housing stock only speeds up the process of out-migration and neglect.
That's the direction neighborhoods are heading when they start getting out the wrecking ball to deal with larger social problems. There's still drug dealing, there's still unemployment, there's still poverty, there's still poor housing. You can take down every last vacant building in North St. Louis, and those are the underlying problems, and they're going to remain.
I would say we got a few areas in the city that are just decimated.
David Bing is the mayor of Detroit. And like St. Louis, at this point, he says the city simply can't avoid tough choices. In practice, that means shrinking the city and channeling scarce funding into certain key areas at the expense of neighborhoods which are beyond fixing.
And so those areas you've got to go and demolish. But there's no way our revenue stream is going to be able to support what we supported when we had 1 million or 2 million people.
Still, despite the fiscal realities many cities face, others worry demolition policies are based more on politics, a chance for cities to clear the land of the urban poor and open up cheap land for developers. Alderman Sam Moore represents the historically black 4th Ward in St. Louis.
What's going to happen is they're going to take too many of them out, and then it becomes just land to divide up.
Of the 3,500 empty buildings in Moore's ward, 845, he says, are slated for demolition.
In that 845, there's a lot of our history. Chuck Berry, Robert Guillon, Tina Turner, all these people's houses are in there.
Moore says he's sympathetic to residents who complain about crime associated with vacant homes and decreasing property values on otherwise stable blocks. The problem, he says, is if he took down all the empty buildings in the 4th Ward, there wouldn't be a ward left. In St. Louis, I'm Adam Ellington for Marketplace.